Chodesh Av, Friday the 2nd of August, Rabbi Jeremy Golka, Parsha and the 3 weeks. Rabbi Golka, give it to me, I'll give my unity. Okay, good morning. Good morning. So this morning what I'd like to do is to spend a few minutes just talking about the parasha and then to connect it to the 3 weeks. We're now in the thick of the 3 weeks. Today is Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the next stage, the 9 days. And we'll try and connect it to this week's parasha. If the sheets are going around, you should have a sheet hopefully in front of you. So in Parshas Matzos, we've got, of course, a double sedra. In Parshas Matzos, in the beginning, we're told, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Vayda Hashem el Moshe leimor, Nekoim nikmas b'nei Yisrael. Take revenge on behalf of the B'nei Yisrael, me'eis ha-midyonim, against the midyonim, achar te'osef alamecha, and then you'll be gathered in. Then your time will come to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayda b'Moshe la'om leimor, Moshe Rabbeinu gets ready. Now, interestingly, if you look at the pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't do exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Hashem says to Moshe, "Nekoim nikmas b'nei Yisrael, take vengeance of the b'nei Yisrael, the affront that was done to them." And Moshe says to the people, he says to Klal Yisrael, he says, now we've got to fight against Midian. Why? Lo says nikmas Hashem be Midian, to take revenge for what they did against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So which one is it? Is it nikmas b'nei Yisrael, nikmas Hashem? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu change the order? Second of all, Rashi says, and it says, achat he'osef el amecho, says Rashi, afal pisha shoma Moshe, even though Moshe Rabbeinu heard, that his death is dependent on this. That after they battle against Midian, he passes away. Nonetheless, also besimcha v'leicha, he does it besimcha. How does Rashi know? Who says? Where do you see in the Psukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he told Moshe to go fight the Midianim, where do you see that Moshe Rabbeinu did it besimcha, and even though misosu tlui b'dava, he nonetheless did it besimcha? So those are the two questions. Why does it switch? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu switch? And it says from Nikmas Bnei Yisrael to Nikmas Hashem. And how does Rashi know that Moshe Rabbeinu did it besimcha, v'leicha, etc., etc.? So there's a very beautiful kliyaka. Let's go through this kliyaka. He'll answer both questions. Nekoim nikmas b'nei Yisrael ha-mejonim. Moshe shino v'om aloses nikmas Hashem b'mejon. Says the kliyaka, picking up on this problem, Moshe Rabbeinu switches and says nikmas Hashem. Why the switch? V'oid kosher, the second question we asked, Shepirish Rashi afal pishe shoma Moshe shemisosu tzlu b'dova osa b'simcha v'leicher, Minole l'Rashi. Where did Rashi get this from? How did Rashi know that Moshe Rabbeinu did it b'simcha? Shema hoyenetz ava misalsa. Maybe he was very upset about it. Who says it was b'simcha? So says the Kliyaka, a beautiful interpretation. Ubir hadava shahamidyonim shtayim ra'os osu. When the Midyonim enticed the B'nai Yisrael to sin, there were actually two evils that they did. Achas, the first was, l'shamayim, against heaven. Ki hechetiu es Yisrael ba'avodah zorah v'znus. They enticed Klal Yisrael to do avodah zorah and to do znus. Va'achas, when they came out with against Midian. Va'achas, and second of all, l'Yisrael, he did a violation against Klal Yisrael. Ki hepilu ba'atzosum esrin va'aboelet Yisrael. 24,000 Jews died as a result of this enticement. And Hashem said to Moshe, "Nekoim nikmas b'nei Yisrael. You take revenge against what was done to Klal Yisrael. Ki masha osuli shari mochel. What was done against me, I'm moichel. I'll let go of that. Ki im rabu pishe, etc., etc." In other words, there were two things they did wrong. One against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they caused Klal Yisrael to sin, that was an affront against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the second was, it was an affront against Klal Yisrael themselves, that 24,000 Yidden died. So therefore, Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, for my kavod, what was done against me, I'm moichel. However, you've got to take revenge for the kavod of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, Hashem says, L'koim nikmas b'nei Yisrael. Continues the bear, the Kliyaka. V'chashesh shoma Moshe, but when in the third paragraph, when Moshe Rabbeinu heard, She'omer le'Hashem, achatei asok al amecha, after you fight Midian, then your time is up, and you're going to pass away. V'kvar yoda Moshe roi chibas Yisrael al manhigon. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew how beloved he was in the eyes of Klal Yisrael. Omar beliboy, he thought himself, Im oimer el Yisrael devarim kaviyosim. If I say it straight, exactly like Kadosh Baruch Hu said it to me, kasher nemru li mipi hagvura, me'achas sheyodu Yisrael shemisosi tzlu benekom azu, they'll know that as soon as we've battled them, then I'm going to move on. Im kein yomer Yisrael, Klal Yisrael will turn around and say, Kashem shamoch la Kadosh Baruch Hu al chelko, in the same way that Hashem was moichel the affront unto him, kach anachnu nimchal lohem, will be moichel what was done to us. We won't take revenge kol kach mehera so quickly. And therefore, we'll delay the departure of Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll be Moshe as well. Moshe, so why did Moshe change it? He knew the Rotzen Hashem was to battle against Midian to take revenge. That was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. Therefore, but loyich without any delay. Therefore, shinah va'omah, he changed the lashon and he said, loses nikmas Hashem b'midyon. You've got to do it not for Klal Yisrael, but for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yeichosh v'yisrael, machash HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevakesh anakom. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants this revenge, b'avur kvoidai imkein cholak ha'kvoya miyatir, v'chelik of Hashem, who's going to be matir that? U'b'zeh yumuchrochim la'asoyis l'alti, you've got to do it straight away. Hashem says, do it. And therefore they did it straight away. Therefore you see the Moshe Rabbeinu did it for simcha. Beautiful. Etc. In other words, what's the Kliyaka saying? He's got two problems. Problem number one is, the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Nekoyim Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. And then Moshe Rabbeinu switches the order and says, Nikmas Hashem. Which one is it? The answer is, there were two things the Midianim did wrong. One was against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one was against Klal Yisrael. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Mitzidi, don't worry about me. You do it for Klal Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu was worried that there will be a great delaying tactic. He'll tell Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael will say, you know what, we're Moichel as well. We're Moichel as well. And therefore, we'll let it go. And therefore, that will delay the Nekama, will delay the departure of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was wise to it. And because he wanted to do the Ratzon Hashem, he switched it around and he says Nikmas Hashem, and then Klal Yisrael got no choice. And therefore, that explains, that is Rashi's Raya, why Afa Pishe Shomash Shemisosu Tzlui Badova Osu Besimcha, because he did it, he could have delayed, but he chose not to. So that answers two questions. What do you see from here? You see from here that Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the true Evet Hashem, is tuned in to doing the Ratzon Hashem. He's tuned in to doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually wants. And even though Klal Yisrael could delay things, the person, the real Evet Hashem, does the Ratzon Hashem. I often tell the boys in school that if a person goes through life with a question in their mind, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me right now, then it's unlikely he'll go wrong. That is what the Ratzon Hashem is. And that's really what Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrates in this week's parasha. There's another theme that emerges in the parasha, and that is Kiddush Hashem. Why? Possibly this is the makar. The whole makar for Kiddush Hashem is in this week's parasha. V'yisim nekiyim me'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael. You know, they tell a story. Have any of you had the opportunity to go and see Rabbi Eliashiv? Zatzal. When you people will go see him, there was a line coming up, and certainly in the later years it was all very streamlined, and you got 20 seconds and you literally just filed past. In the earlier years you had a line, you went in and you spoke to him, and you had a bit more time. But he had public hours, he's sitting there the whole day, but he had public hours where he would see people. One time, Rav Shimon Finkelman tells a story, the Reb Nosson Sherman of the art scroll fame went to see Reb Eliashiv. He had a question. And he was waiting online. No doubt some very pressing questions being put to Reb Eliashiv. And his wife, Reb Eliashiv's wife, the daughter of Rabbi Aryeh Levin, was needed urgently to speak to her husband. Now, if you open your very small home to the whole of Klal Yisrael, to the wide public, and you know your house is a is public property, and what did she do? She went to every single person online and she said, "Would you mind if I jump ahead? I need to speak to my husband urgently." Would you mind? What are they going to say? I mean, it's your husband. Ladies, it's your house.
Ladies first.
Ladies first. So he, but the point is, Kiddush Hashem, that she went in, asked every single person, and then she went in to speak to her husband about this pressing matter. That's Kiddush Hashem. Now, how does this connect to the 3 weeks? If you turn over the page, the second side of the sheet, let's learn through together a beautiful Nesiva Shalom. And Nesiva Shalom is the Slonim Rebbe. He's no longer alive, but his Sfarim are very, very popular, and they're becoming even more popular as time moves on. He takes ideas, Hasidic ideas and Kabbalistic ideas, and he somehow sort of digests them for our generation. So let's go through the Nesiva Shalom, and what he's going to say is, what will emerge from it is an idea that I think can focus us in the coming 9 days, what is left of the 3 weeks. Let's take a look. Says the Nesiva Shalom, Hine, tachlis briyasa shel Yehudi, the whole purpose of a Jew, shehiyeh dovuk b'Hashem. What is our mission statement? What is our overriding objective in life? Says the Nesiva Shalom, to be dovuk b'Hashem, to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh hoya kol inyonah shel Beis HaMikdash. That was the whole purpose, the tachlis of the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted an abode in this world. Of course, the pasuk doesn't say v'shochanti b'seichai, but says v'shochanti b'seicham, haynu, b'toich kol echod ve'echod. She'al yedei Beis HaMikdash niyeh dovuk b'Hashem. It was through the Beis HaMikdash that we had that close relationship with Hashem. Ki Beis HaMikdash yorad er l'kus la'ilam. Through the Beis HaMikdash, some divine light, some spiritual light descended into the world. U'misham nishba or yisbarach l'nishim yisrael. And through that light entered every single neshama in Klal Yisrael. U'mitoich kach hirgish Yehudi es Hashem yisbarach v'kirvas Elokim. And through that light, which came through the Beis HaMikdash, every person felt a closeness, a relationship with Hashem. V'zeh hoya inyan Beis HaMikdash, that was the whole function of the Beis HaMikdash. Shehei Yisrael ba'ar l'kusei yisbarach, that illuminated Klal Yisrael with the light of Hashem, and that helped us achieve our tachlis of being dovuk to Hashem, of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fine. Therefore, if the whole tachlis of the Beis HaMikdash was to be the conduit through which the divine light, this Ur Elokus, would come through and would enter every single neshama in Klal Yisrael, so without a Beis HaMikdash, that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be much harder. So how do we achieve this overriding objective of the creation of a Jew, Shehiyeh Dovuk b'Hashem, in a world where there is no Beis HaMikdash, where we haven't got that help? So two ideas. Number one, it's become a little bit jaded. But in many schools they do it, they focus on Hashgacha Pratis. If you want to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into your world, you've got to focus on Hashgacha Pratis, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with you. In many schools, there's like projects and... But, we started in our own home a few years ago, Shabbos lunch. We told the kids, there's like a big tray of sweets, and every time they go around, they say a story of where they saw the Yad Hashem in that week that happened to them, they'll take a sweet. So sometimes the kids came home, Monday, Tuesday, I've got an unbelievable story. No, you've got to wait till Shabbos. So let me share with you something that happened in school a couple of weeks ago. A remarkable incident of Hashgacha Pratis. The penultimate week of the term, we have what's called Activities Week. So the older year group go off to do work experience. They see what it means to work. And the younger years, year 7, 8, 9, they do activities. So they start off with davening and kodesh, and then they go off and do trips and machaneh and all different types of activities. So one morning after shacharis, a little delegation, a small delegation of boys in year 8, come up to me and say that they've got a problem. What's the problem? That we're going to the science museum today, and the natural history museum, and we can't go. Why can't you go? We're kohanim. So I start thinking, you know, I've got to try and think of my Hasmo student cap, how they're going to get a part. Well, what exactly is the problem with the Kohen going to the science museum? So he said, there's a Kohen, there's an exhibition there, there's a problem. Okay, so I said, look, let me look into it. So I looked into it, so I found out, and they were right. I called one of the governors, Yossi Halberstadt, who learns with the Eli Katz, who's the head of Mishmeres Kohanim, and he told me that there is a problem. And I called David Tugendhoff, who's a Rebbe in the school, a Pesach, and he told me there's a Tshuva, Rav Moshe Sternberg, who says that there are heterim, but for a Tiul Ba'omer Kohen to go to a building, you know, where there's a Meister, you shouldn't do it. So fine, so we're not going to do it. So by this time, I go into the gym where all the year 8 boys are waiting to go on their trip. And I say, boys, put your hands up if you're a Kohen. So 5 hands came up, 5 Kohanim. So I said, boy, come. So I brought them over. So I told them, I said, you know, being a Kohen is a big zechus. But not today. Not today. Today, instead of going to the science museum and the natural history museum, you're going to go play Power League football with Rabbi Liss. So suddenly I overheard a few boys saying, I'm a Kohen, I'm a Kohen. nice try, but only 5 of you. So 5 of them went to play football with Rabbi Liss. Fine. A few minutes later, I told the head of the trip leader, Mrs. Apokasis. So I said to her, you know, we've got a problem. 5 boys are Kohanim, they can't go to the science museum. They're going to go Power League. So if you're 5 short, fine, no problem. So then, about 10 minutes later, I see her in the corridor. She's very excited. She says, you're not going to believe what happened. She said she ordered the coaches many weeks ago, all sorted out. The coaches came, and the coach company apologized because the coach for year 8 to take them to the science museum they sent was a little bit shorter, smaller than they had promised, and it was 5 seats too small. 5 seats too small. Now, you can't make this stuff up. Right? So you've got to just open eyes. If we open our eyes, we'll see the Hashgacha. And that is also what can create a Dveikas to Hashem. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much interacting with you in this world. Let's press on. The second way to create that Dveikas Hashem is, of course, Kiddush Hashem. What does Kiddush Hashem mean? Kiddush Hashem simply means living with an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trying to do the right thing at every moment in the day. There's a beautiful pasuk and a beautiful interpretation of the Chofetz Chaim on this pasuk. If you take a look at the third box on paragraph 3, Moshe Rabbeinu is running after his lost sheep in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, Shmos Perek Gimel Pasuk Hei. And he gets to the burning bush, the snep, and the bush is vibrant and fresh and is burning, but yet is not being consumed. And the pasuk says, Shal na'lecha me'al raglecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe and says, remove your shoes, ki hamok mashata oimed olav ad mas kodeshu. The place upon which you stand is ad mas kodesh. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the Derech Drush, a lovely interpretation. B'chol makom uv'chol zman yochol adam liskar v'bar. The fourth box on the second side. B'chol makom, in every place, uv'chol zman, in every time, Yochel Adam Niskar Vela El Bayre. A person can access, can make a Kiddush Hashem, can find a connection anytime, any place. La Ovdayo Lakayim Mitzvaysov, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alov Lashkiach, he's got to just take care. Shaloye Heidov Achoytes Beinu Levein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's got to just make sure there are no barriers. The connection is there. Kamay Ma'akosov Kiavanusechem Abdilim. A person's sins can create that barrier. Take off your shoes. What do they mean? Every time, every place is Kaddish, has the potential for Kaddusha. You've got to just take away that barrier which is an impediment to that Kaddusha. Imagine you've got a magnet and you've got a piece of metal. So it's going to stick to it. But if you take some cotton wool or some paper or wood, whatever, and you wrap it around the magnet, so the effect of the connectivity is loosened. It's much harder to connect. Shal Na'alecha Me'araglecha, take away the barriers, and then there'll be that connection. Avol Rak Masirim Oysa Oza Miskale Hamokam B'chozei HaKadushos Aviv HaSoirei, etc., etc. Says the Chofetz Chaim, every moment and every place is an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, all you've got to do is Shal Na'alecha Me'araglecha. I think I may have told this story once before. I forget where and where I've said various things. But Robert Bernstein used to say, if it's worth saying once, it's worth repeating. There was a story I heard, it was involving Gerald Halibard. Gerald Halibard is known to many of you, I'm sure. He's a very fine man living here in Golders Green. So he told me the following happened to him. He was coming back from work on an Erev Shabbos. And Erev Shabbos, he was getting on the train. And it was a long week and he was very tired. So he sits down on the train Erev Shabbos and he sees the following unfold. A lady comes onto the train and sits down opposite him. And she puts down her bag and she promptly falls asleep. You know, the movement of the train is the end of a long week. She falls asleep. So he's sitting there learning, doing whatever he's doing. And all of a sudden, the train emerges, you know, when you go on the last stretch from Hampstead to Golders Green, it comes out of the tunnel, and you suddenly have a flash of light, and that sort of stirs her, that wakes her up. So she emerged from the tunnel, and she's in such a deep slumber that she can't quite place herself, you know, sort of who she is, where she is. So she suddenly realizes, by the time she comes to, she hears the voice, Golders Green Station, the door's open, and she realizes this is her stop. So she bolts up, and runs off the train and just manages to get out of the train in time. And the doors close, the train starts moving on, and she realizes she's left her handbag on the train. Oh dear. So she, and the last thing she sees is a front businessman, Mr. Gerald Halibard, walk over to her bag. That's the last thing she sees. End of part one. So Mr. Halibard goes home, it's Erev Shabbos, he hasn't got long, he hasn't got time to start working out who is the owner of this bag. But he makes a mental note that straight after Shabbos, after Abdallah, he'll try and work it out. So he quickly goes to shul. Motzei Shabbos, after Abdallah, he starts doing the detective work. And after a while, he finds out who it is, and he makes the phone call, he gets the phone number, and he calls her up. And she answers the phone. You can hear the relief on the phone. She's got her handbag back. So she says, can I come around and pick it up? Yeah, with pleasure. Gives his address, and she comes around very quickly afterwards. And when she comes to thank him, she brings a bottle of wine. So she gives him the bottle of wine. I'm very grateful that you've gone to such effort. You took the bag, you called. Now, I would have just said thank you very much and taken the bottle. But he is obviously very astute. He looks at the bottle and says, it's kosher wine. Where did you get this from? All the stores today, the kosher stores are shut today. How did you get this bottle of wine? So listen to what she said. She said, when I saw a religious Jew, and she wasn't Jewish, but when I saw a religious Jew stand up and approach my handbag, I knew he was getting it in order to return it to me at the first opportunity. And in anticipation of that phone call that you just made, on Friday afternoon, as soon as I got off the train, I went to the store to buy a bottle of wine.
Kosher wine.
Kosher wine. Isn't that amazing? In anticipation of that phone call, because I knew that that's what a religious Jew does. That's a Kiddush Hashem. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says. B'chol mokum v'chol zman, yochel odom niskar vel beire. I came across an article a few weeks ago, an amazing article, which I think brings out this point as well. There's a fellow in New York called Mordechai Becher. Maybe you've read his stuff, you're familiar with his material. A big Talmud Chacham, and he writes very beautifully. He said that he, after many years of living and teaching in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, he got an opportunity to go to New York to take a position there. And he was, on one hand, it was a very exciting opportunity for him. On the other hand, he didn't want to leave Israel.
Yes.
And he decided he was going to do it, but he went with a heavy heart. And he had a Sudas Preda. People came to say goodbye to him. And at the Sudas Preda, his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapira, came to the Sudas Preda and he spoke. And he was well aware that his Talmud, Rav Mordechai Becher, was leaving Israel with a heavy heart. And he told him the following amazing thing. He said, how many times does it say the word Yerushalayim in Chumash?
Not at all.
Not at all. Very good. Not at all. Not once. But there is a hint to it. The hint is, it says in Parshas Ekev, Ki yircha kamimcho hamokum, asher yivcha Hashem lekecha. What's Yerushalayim called? The place which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose for you. Why isn't Yerushalayim mentioned in Chumash? So the Rambam in Meir Nevuchim gives three reasons. Reason number one, says the Rambam, is because if it's given so much emphasis in Chumash, and Yerushalayim is mentioned in Chumash, then the Gentiles would sort of attack Klal Yisrael, would want Yerushalayim. If it's so special, we want it. So therefore, it's like a rag to a bull, and therefore it's dangerous. Keep a lower profile. Second reason, says the Rambam, is that if the Umos are there in Yerushalayim, they'll fight harder, they won't give it up or give it away so easily. And the third reason is, the Rambam says this is his preferred answer, is that the Shvatim, if they feel that Yerushalayim is so important, they'll fight over it. And they'll be machlokes in Klal Yisrael. Everyone wants Yerushalayim for themselves. Rav Moshe Shapira said, I'll give you a fourth answer. Why is Yerushalayim not mentioned? Because, he says, sometimes that the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses for you is not the geographical Yerushalayim, but is the place where you can fulfill your tafkid in this world. It's the Mokom Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokecha, that's your personal Yerushalayim. That's the point. The point where you can fulfill your tafkid, where you can best be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, that's your personal Yerushalayim. And for you, he was hinting to Mordechai Becha, if the Rotzon Hashem is for you to go to New York, that's the Rotzon Hashem. The Rotzon Hashem is for you to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim with the tools, the abilities, the capabilities that you've been given. That's really what it's about. Therefore, if you think about it, this week's Parsha, Parshas Matos, is really an expression of all that. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is told to take revenge against Midian, and he changes the order. Why Nikmas Hashem, Nikmas Bnei Israel? The answer is because he recognizes the Rotzon Hashem is to do Nikmas Midian, is to take revenge against Midian. But he changes the order, even though his own death is going to be expedited, and he could have delayed it if he wanted to, but that wasn't the Rotzon Hashem. The Ikar is to do the Rotzon Hashem. And that's why Rashi knew, Afapi, Shenafshot, to Misosa, Tliya Badova, still Somach, and he did it. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's really the avodah of the 3 weeks and of the 9 days. That's what the Nesiv Shalom is saying. That the whole tachlis of the Jew in this world is to create a dveikus b'Hashem. How do you create a dveikus? Either by Hashkocha Pratis, or by focusing on Kiddush Hashem. What is the Rotzon Hashem? The Rotzon Hashem can sometimes be to go Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokecha. I'll finish just with one postscript. I don't know where I heard this, but it's a very beautiful idea, which again I may have said in this forum, but forgive me if I have. Tomorrow afternoon, Shabbos Mincha, we daven Shmoneh Esrei. There's a very beautiful Shmoneh Esrei. We say Atzo Echot. And, you know, now it's very hard to, certainly for me as a teacher, you know, you work hard the whole year, and then when it comes to the summertime, you're excited, you know, you can relax a little bit, it's the summer holidays, and yet we're in the middle of the 3 weeks. So how do you combine these emotions? On one hand, it's a very sad period of time. On the other hand, you know, you go past the bus stops and the kids are finishing school, you see the simcha on their faces. So how do you balance these two sort of contrasting emotions? The answer is, I think, the common denominator is Kiddush Hashem. If the focus of the 3 weeks is to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim and to make up the Churban, which is ultimately a Chilul Hashem, then really, holiday time can be a Kiddush Shem Shemayim as well. How so? In Ato Echod, we make reference to various different types of menucha, the holiday, of respite. Let's take a look. Why does a person go on holiday? So says the Shmoneh Esrei, Ato Echod v'Shimcha Echod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a Yoy Menucha v'Kedusha. What type of menucha can there be? Menuchas Ahava L'Dova. Why would a person go on holiday? To spend more time with loved ones, with family members. Menuchas Ahava L'Dova. Why else would a person go on holiday? Menuchas Emes V'Emuna. An opportunity to learn a bit more, to daven a bit more, to relax, to sort of spiritually reconnect. Alternatively, a third reason why a person might want to go on holiday is Menucha Shalom V'Shalva Hashkei V'Vetach, just to chill out, to relax, to recharge the physical batteries. All of these types of menucha are very, very worthwhile. Menucha salvadova, to reconnect with family members, spiritual recharging, physical recharging. So long as al menuchosom yagdish veshemecho. So long as the menucha will generate a kiddush Hashem, then it's worthwhile. So a very beautiful postscript to this theme. What emerges from Parshas Matzos Maaseh, and what emerges from this time of year, is very much a focus on kiddush Hashem. And in Mitzvah Hashem, we can be zocher to be mekayim this concept, and also to have the ultimate kiddush Hashem, which will be the binyan beis hamikdash.